Good afternoon. You're listening to Bike Sport Radio, where we talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. It's Monday, January 20th, Martin Luther King Day, and I have a dream. I have a dream that one day, cyclists will not be judged by the actions of a few criminal behavior cyclists running stop signs, and that they will be judged by the actions of the majority of us who follow the rules. All right. No offense to Dr. King there. Today we've got sounds from the SoCal Crit Series race, also from the 12 and 6 hours of Temecula. Robert's review is also coming up on Garneau course products, including helmets and skin suits. And a bunch of race results, including NorCal versus SoCal, the throwdown challenge of cyclocross held in January each year. So let's move into some race results right now.
SoCal Criterium Series, event number one at Dominguez Hills. Masters 45s. Gibby Hatton taking third. Scott Cochran second. And your winner, John Weick. Men's Cat 4s, Glenn De Guzman picking up the win from Cycle World. And in the Masters 50+, Steven Gregorios for Radsport, edged out by Ride Cycle Race Ted Rupp. Men's Category 5's Alfredo Asuzano taking third place. Big Orange Cycling's Dan Martin in second, and your winner, Joshua Hayes. And in the Masters 55's, Ed Marcello riding for Team Velocity, making the podium with third place. Pinnacle Life Racing Team's David Feta in second, and your winner riding for Team Velocity, Ricky Shorts. Okay, and for the third or fourth year in a row, I believe, Sam Barnes Promotions brings you NorCal versus SoCal Cyclocross Showdown. And this is a competition between Northern and Southern California racers in cyclocross, ending the season. Kind of a good way to, fun way to wrap up the season, January 5th. Junior men's 10 through 14. Taking the win was Jake Yackel. In the juniors 15 to 18, Jeffrey Bartz picking up that win. And in the junior women 15 to 18, Courtney Comer riding for Southern California, taking the win there just barely over Hannah Ekvall, also Southern Cal, by 1 second. That's right. Younger sister Cheyenne Comer picking up the win in the 10 to 14 junior women. Masters 55 and over, Rick Ortenblad picking up the win there. And in the Masters 35 plus women's, Leanne Storino taking a clear win by almost 2 minutes over second place Holly McGovern and third place Robin Kaminsky. Men's Category 4s and 5s, Jeff Bilodeau, your winner there. And in the Masters 35 and over men, Brian Finnerty with over a 3-minute lead over second place David Sheik. Third place going to Sage Aldebaran. In the Masters 45 and over, no surprise there, a name we've heard many, many years in cyclocross, Brent Prenslow, taking it for Southern California over Todd Stevenson, coming in second. Men's Category 3s, 4s, and 5s, Troy Templin picking up the win. And in the women's pros and open 1 through 4s, with a time of 43.58, Amanda Nauman taking the win there. Women's threes and fours. Kendra Foley Perez picking up the win in that one. Single speed men. Nick Schaffner taking the win over Rick Ryan Rinn. And third place going to Eric Nelson in the men's single speed. Women's single speed, yes, they had women's single speed as well with a time of 39.18. Erica Grief taking that win. And in a hotly contested men's pros, one through fours, Tobin Ortenblad being nipped by 1 second at the line by Walton Brush. Walton Brush. And what was really cool was the Northern Cal versus Southern California showdown, points-wise, came out to be a tie. Would you believe that? And Sam and the guys were just, huh, what do we do? It's a tie. The actual points came out to be a tie, so excellent competition. I don't know exactly how they resolved that. I'm sure you can find out by finding further details at their website at Sam Barn. That's sambarn.com, Sam Barn Promotions. That's their website, sambarn.com. NorCal versus SoCal Cyclocross Showdown.
Yeah, that was cool. That's I attended that event a couple of years ago. Pretty wild, all the NorCal, SoCal guys. Robert's here in the studio also. How you doing, Robert?
I'm doing well.
Hey, how did they break that tie, by the way?
Okay, so here's what I was told and heard on about the tie up there, because it was a legitimate tie. The points added up. They even double-checked. So they just grabbed two souls who happened to still have their bikes and were still somewhat dressed to race and said, you're doing a sprint from point A to point B, a straight-line sprint down the road, and first one across the line breaks a tie.
Did they verify that one was from NorCal and one was from SoCal?
Yeah, one of them was our regular SoCal guys. One was our NorCal guy, and they just threw him on the line.
Wow.
Said, ready, set, go, and off
it?
We went. And Gareth, one of our local racers,
Gareth Thompson,
our AA guys, won it. And,
sweet.
Took the title to brought the title back down to our SoCal guys.
So
it was
right.
Pretty funny. It was a great race.
Way to go, SoCal. Cool. Thank you, Robert. All right, we got some upcoming events, upcoming road and off-road events. In the road, we've got Northern California's Early Bird Criterium coming up on Sunday, January 26th, and that's promoted by Velo Promo. The Early Bird Criterium also has a couple of clinics in February, racing for all ages, including men's Category 4s, juniors, as well as masters. So visit velopromo.com. Or register online at bikereg.com for further details on the Early Bird Criterium Training Series. Also, Northern Cal, if you're into crits, the Cal Aggie Criterium in Sacramento, January 25th, 2014, at William Lands Park in Sacramento. Brought to you by UC Davis. Junior racing also going on there as well. Juniors and masters, men and women, pros and amateurs, all levels of racing. Very low prize value, but it's just kind of an off-season race. So $20 for the first race. It's also a low entry fee. So how about that? UCDavis.edu for further details on the Cal Aggie Criterium. And in Southern California, yours truly is going to give this one another shot. I've done it for like 10 years in a row. The Poor College Kids Road Race. This is a fundraiser for UCSB, UC Santa Barbara, for their cycling team, presented by UCSB Cycling. That's January 25th. Poor College Kids Road Race, racing for all categories there as well, for men and women, except for juniors. There are no junior categories. Full details at scnca.org for the Poor College Kids Road Race, coming up Saturday, January 25th. And we got some racing coming up in Castaic, Robert. You got some dates on those?
Yeah, the off-road series started really early this year. I mean, I'm just getting off a cross and was hoping for a couple weeks to recover and get some more base in. But, man, XC racing just started. And let me tell you, man, everybody came out swinging from the get-go. I was thinking, oh, nice leisurely cruise through the mountainside with a couple of close personal friends. Oh, no, we threw down from the gate. So... anyways, first race, actually the going on the race number 3 in the series, we've got the winter, I always mess this up, but It's called the Winter Pedal Fest, and this is based out of Castaic Lake. And we should have, hopefully, we can get Greg, the promoter, to call in a few. But five races in the series started January 4th. We have one the 4th, the 18th. We got one coming up February 1st. And then they move to a Sunday, February 16th. And then the final is Saturday, March 8th. Races start at 10 a.m. You can go to racepedalfest.com, as good old LAFD goes screaming by the open window.
Never fails. Always between noon and 1, the fire department or paramedics. But it wouldn't be live internet radio without it. So
gotta have them, man. They gotta have them. Thanks to all those guys. Got a lot of friends there. The other winter MTB series, if you want to get yourself tested and warmed up and getting ready for the U.S. Cups coming up, is the KMC Chain Winter Series put on by Southridge USA. And those are, you know, we've got cross country on day one, which is Saturday usually, followed by a Super D, and then we have downhills on the Sunday after. So we've already done one race in that series. That was the 11th. And then the next couple ones coming up are January 25th, the weekends of January 25th, 26th.
That's Fontana, right?
Fontana, yeah. February 8th and 9th. Then we got February 22nd and 23rd, which also happens to be the first national from the AKA used to be Kenda Cup. Now it's the Show Air Productions, and we'll get a little more info into that. Then March 8th and 9th is a double points in the final for the winter series, and then you can go on to their website and get the rest of the schedule. They've even got a night race and a couple of their classics.
What's their website?
It is www.southridgeusa.com, and there's a whole listing of all the information you need to go race there. Have fun. Donnie's been doing this forever. He knows how to put on a good race. Be nice to see some
Donnie Jackson.
That's right. Donnie Jackson. He's been doing this a long time. So he's been out there. Good no series. And for you guys who think those races are just a little too short, which is me nowadays, in Temecula, back with SoCal Endurance, they're putting on the SoCal Fat Tire event, which is they've got an option of a 24-mile and a 50-mile. It's called a SoCal Fat Tire Epic 50. And that's February 9th. Starts at 9 a.m. at the beautiful Vail Lake Resort in Temecula. And let me just tell you, after riding there all day Saturday in the hot sun, it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, it's fun times. But yeah. Take the look. They got a category for everybody.
Dehydration City.
Oh, God, yeah. Dehydration and food, man. That's what I was looking for. But that's February 9th, and hopefully the weather stays a little on the cool side. And it's a good, definitely, you got to challenge yourself. If you haven't done one of these long rides, you got to get out there and do it.
Very cool. All right. We're looking forward to getting a call in, too, from a promoter from Castaic, Greg Flanagan. Hopefully we'll get a call in from him, as well as looking forward to talking to the Wrench Wench as well. to get a kick out of listening to her. So, and then we got Robert's Reviews also coming up soon. And we got some race sounds. We'll be right back.
Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside.
Hey, Brett, nice to see you.
Hey, Jen.
Wow, This looks like a new little system on the back of your truck. What's up with this rack here?
Yes, it is. That is the Rackster Duopod. Holds two bikes.
That's fantastic. And what's so special about this rack that's different from others?
Ah, well, it's nice and low, so you don't have to lift it up real high. You're still using one of those roof racks?
I am, and I'm going to tell you, I get so tired of putting my bikes on top of my car, and I've heard nightmare stories about my friends running into their garage and blowing up their forks and stuff because they forget that their bike's on top of their car.
Yes, that'll never happen with a Rackster rack.
Now, I'm kind of a low-budget bike racer. What's the price range for these things?
Ah, this is the Duopod. It's only $269.99. How about that?
That's good. Now, sometimes I need more than just two bikes. I sometimes travel with some in my car. Do they have something more than just the Duopod?
No problem. The Rackster Thorax holds three bikes. Same concept as the Rackster Duopod, and it's only $449.
Wow, I got to tell you, I really like this. Where can I get one?
Well, you'll also like it because of its lightweight. The rack itself is light because it's got composite materials in the swing arms, and you can get them in Southern California at dealers in Poway, Irvine, Costa Mesa.
Great. I live in Northern California. Is there a complete list of dealers that I can find where the Rackster is?
Yes, there is. You can find more dealers at RacksterRacks.com. That's R-A-X-T-E-R, Racks, R-A-C-K-S.com.
Wow, Brad. Thanks so much. I can't wait to get one. Nice rack.
Thanks, Jen.
All right, Rackster Racks, and we're at the segment here where we go into our product review with Robert. And thank you, Robert, for doing this for over... Well, more than a year now, right, I think?
This has been challenging, actually, because, you know, we get some good things, and then we get some questionable things, and then we get some new stuff that, sometimes you go, huh? Is that going to work?
Yeah.
And, you know...
What do we have, Garneau?
Louis Garneau. I had to practice saying this last night. I'm still going to slaughter it. You know that, right? Louis Garneau. Has this new
Perfect.
Product line now. I got it just right. Called the Course line. Course. C-O-U-R-S-E. I did not chorus.
It sounds like a dance.
I'm going to start kicking right now. Anyways, we brought the stuff in. Yes, it's all been washed and laundered. You can touch it and fondle it, Brad.
I'm holding a skin suit here. You guys can't see on the radio. It's one-piece top and bottom.
But here's a nice thing. Let's talk about that skin suit first, because that thing is really like no other.
Where are the seams on the arms?
Exactly.
They didn't finish
it. There are no seams.
There are no seams. Sweet.
This suit is so thin, so light, so airy, but it doesn't look like a skin suit. It actually fits.
It has pockets.
It has pockets in it. And it has an inside pocket. Open up the jersey. And it looks like a jersey and shorts kit.
Right. Because it's got some
and
full
it's very,
zip that
very
opens
comfortable.
And separates.
One of my issues with skin suits, I hated them for the longest time, was that because of my kind of messed up shoulder, I had a real hard time wiggling in to get that sleeve up over my shoulder and stuff. Well, the way they designed the suit is it actually, the top fits more like a full zip up jersey, and it goes on real easy.
There's even an opening in it at the bottom part. It actually looks like a jersey, sort of.
Right.
And it opens up at like a jersey, and then the inside looks like a bib short. Interesting.
Yeah, it is, and that's what makes it so comfortable. And, you know, one thing about skin suits is that They're usually made for just like crits, short races, and things like that. And we've got, you know, this thing is an all-day type thing. I think we're going to stop because we got a real quick phone call from a very good friend.
Greg Flanagan here from Greg Flanagan, the promoter of Castaic Mountain Bike Racing. He's going to tell us a little bit about his race. And thanks for calling in, Greg. I'll hand you over to Robert.
Hey, Greg. What's
Robert, happening? How you doing?
Everybody's
how are you, buddy?
I'm good, good, good. We're sitting here waiting. We had a little extra time. We're going, good timing, Greg. Call in now. So
well, I'm glad you texted. My wife and I are down in Orange County on our road bikes today, enjoying the nice holiday. And well, it's 80 degrees here in January, but we're riding down Orange County today, so it's good time.
Sounds awesome, man. Sounds awesome. So tell us everything about your craziness with this winter series going on over Castaic.
Well, we did the over-the-hump races last summer. And they were real successful, as you went to most of them, Robert. And everybody kept saying, let's keep it going. So we had great crowd response. So we decided to do five races over the winter time on our own, separate from Over the Hump. It's still the same promoter, still us doing it. We're just not calling it Over the Hump. We will be doing Over the Hump later this summer still. But same basic premise, very fun, family-oriented. Same basic course. We actually added a little bit of climbing because it is winter. It's not so warm, although it's a lot warmer than we thought it was going to be. But the course is fun. We have 21 classes, and we also have a separate kids race with a 6 to 8 class and a 9 to 11 class. So we have, I think the youngest, we had a 5-year-old kid race, a kid race, and we had a 69-year-old guy race, the adult race. So we had a 64-year age gap between our oldest and youngest competitors, which is really cool.
Yeah, like I was telling Brad, you know, I was thinking winter, pre-race, series, I can go and chill with all my buddies and just have a nice, fun ride. The last race I was at, man, they dropped the hammer, and it was like, oh, my God, I can't go this fast this early in the season. So,
it was supposed to be the warm-up, you know, race, and for two reasons, because you warm up for the Nationals, and it's going to be cold out, and it's been neither. Yeah, the fast guys have been going real fast.
Oh, yeah, sure. No. I mean, I got to admit, I like the Super Sport Masters category because I just got tired of chasing those young 20-somethings. And I do like how the
crazy young kids.
Yeah, those guys, I'm telling you, man, those guys are fast. But I like how the new, they did cut in a new single track. So anybody who raced over the hump summer, you need to get out. If you haven't gone out to the winter one, the new single track downhill is just awesome. I mean, I know you guys did a lot of work to make that happen.
Yeah, we did. And if we are, and I'm going to go on a limb and hope we're going to get, or assume we're going to get some rain in the next couple of months, we can actually do a little more. But yeah, it's real fun. We eliminated that big pro downhill, which that was great for the fast guys. But this course is one course for all. And we actually, as you know, a little climbing, but it's fire road. And it's only about, you know, 30, 40 feet of elevation on the rest of the climb, but you get to enjoy some more single track coming back down. So, yeah, the course is real fun. Everybody rides the same course with the exception of the junior girls and the women's beginner. They cut the fire road off a little bit. They don't climb quite as much. But we added two more women's classes for the winter series. We added the over 60 men's class. We cut the super sport from 49 and up to 40 and up. So us mid-40s don't have to be racing against the 20-year-olds anymore.
Yay!
So evened it out a little bit.
That's awesome. Awesome, yeah. Greg. Well, thanks for putting this series on. It's awesome to not get so far. So let's see. How do we find? We need to find out more about your race. Where are we going to go, Greg?
You can go to our Facebook page. It's Pedalfest Winter Warm-Up Series. Or the website is racepedalfest.com. You can actually sign up right from the Facebook page if you want to, so it's real simple. I think we're onto something here. We've had a great response from the community. We've had a lot of local businesses want to get involved, local training centers, local banks. You know, one bike shop alone has sold 15 bicycles that you can directly relate to our race, which is amazing. So I believe that we're onto something here. We're going to stick with it. We're doing 10 over the hump races starting in May, and we'll be announcing that schedule soon. And we're going to stick with this because this is our real first, you know, finishing our first full year of doing this out there. But, you know, and I want to look back in 5 years and go, wow, remember when, you know, we were doing this? That I think we're really onto something, and the response has been overwhelming. So thanks to you guys, too, for your support and to help it grow.
Oh, no problem, Greg. It's been great, man. Thanks for putting on the show, and we'll see you at the next one.
Okay, guys, thank you very much for having me on. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, same.
All right, thanks, Greg.
Thanks, see you guys.
Bye-bye. Very cool. All right, that was Greg Flanagan of Castaic Mountain Bike, race promoter. And, we got another call right now. Hold on a second. On Kill Radio.
No, not kind of
Bike Sport Radio. This is Brad.
Hey, Brad. This is Michelle. How's it going?
Hey, it's the Wrench Winch. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, perfect timing. We were just talking with one of the promoters of the upcoming Castaic Mountain Bike Series. And tell us about your race and stuff, and maybe we can get into a little bit about your interesting name, the Wrench Winch.
Yeah, that was a fun one. My boss gave me that.
Yeah.
Are we on live right now?
We are. We're on the air now.
Oh, my gosh. And,
don't say anything too incriminating. Well, okay, go ahead.
You can say anything you want. This is internet radio. We're not FCC controlled, so, and I wouldn't worry about it too much. But you were racing. You were actually racing in Temecula, huh?
Yeah, I raced yesterday. My friend asked me to come in and do a co-ed race with him, and I, before I knew what I was getting into, I said sure, and had to borrow a mountain bike and went for broke.
You do ride, though, a little bit, so you were fit, right?
Yep, I ride road all the time, so it was easy, and I had enough power and energy to keep up for the time it took. But
and was this a two-person team or a four-person team?
It was two-person co-ed, and there was only three people in our category, so I came in second with my partner.
Sweet. Sweet.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and now him and I are going to do a bunch of co-ed races this year. I'm super excited.
Excellent, excellent. It was the 12 hours you did, right, you said?
Yep, it was 12 hours. I did five laps, and he did six, so.
Okay. So how does that work? Each of you complete a certain amount of time, or do you do a lap and have to check in, or?
He did the first lap, and then you come through a little spot where you have to get off your bike, and they read your number, and then you switch over the baton, and then he went. And so we just swapped off lap for lap, and then if we had come in, if the person that finished third had gotten the same amount of laps that we did, they would have gone by who did them faster, but we did one more lap than them, so.
Excellent.
The team that beat us did two more laps, so that's my goal for next year is to get three more laps than we did.
That's not that far ahead. That's doable.
I was going to say, next year.
Yeah, oh, it's very doable. Some of the people, one of the ladies that just solo, I think, did almost 15 laps, so that's just crazy. That's going to be my goal. I want to kick some serious butt next year.
Yeah. Now, how do you handle the 12 hours? Is there some darkness there, or you ever have lights?
There was. It got pretty dark after 4:30. Lights were required, and so he had on his lap. It started to go dark, and then I did a lap and a half in the dark also.
Okay, I see.
And it was so much more fun doing it in the dark. It was a whole new level of epic awesomeness. It was amazing.
Yes. I ride nighttime mountain biking every week, pretty much, and it is a blast. It's a completely different scene out there at night, like you said. So, do you have a team name or a team? Did you name your team anything? Or
I think we were Fuzzy, Muzzy, Big, and Buzzy, or something.
That's good enough.
I'm not good at coming up with names. That was quite scary. Like trying to sign registration. He's like, "What should we be?"
Yeah. All right. Very fun. Very fun. When's your next race? Then you guys going to do a Castaic or?
I want to do those ones, and then I know that there's a 200-miler in September, and there's a whole bunch of them. I have them on my Wrench Winch page of all the list of the mountain bikes one I'm going to do, and then there's the Over the Hump series I'm going to do, a couple time trials in San Diego, so I have a whole bunch of races coming
up. The Winch Wrench. So tell us about the Winch Wrench.
Well, my boss, she's kind of a hoot, and I'm kind of loud and obnoxious, and so she just kind of named me that, and it stuck throughout everything, so I made the page for being a mechanic and racing and whatnot.
Are you actually a bike mechanic or auto mechanic or?
Bicycle mechanic. I work at the Unlikely Cyclist, and we're a women's-specific shop, so it just turned out perfectly that I'm a female mechanic.
Very cool. Yeah, that is awesome. Yeah. And do you have a web page or anything for the bike shop or for you or for?
We have a website and a Facebook page for our shop. It's the Unlikely Cyclist, and then my page for my athlete page is the Wrench Wench.
All right,
wrench is in the tool and wench like pirate whore, so it's kind of fun.
Yeah, bring me my bloody wench. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling. Anything you want to add?
I just want to thank my boss for being totally awesome and understanding when I take off to race, and to Derek with Outspoken Cycles for trusting me with his totally awesome mountain bike to race on.
All right. Thank you very much. The Winch Wrench. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much, Brad. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
You know, I gotta say one thing. When I was out there, because I was at the same race, we probably saw her a few times out there, either got lapped or lapped. I'm not sure.
Got lapped by her?
I don't know. Not too many people went by me. I had a pretty good pace going. But, yeah, a couple of the pros, you know, when Tinker goes by, you know, it's just a blur. But, you know, the names of some of these teams, when I saw them, you start laughing.
Creative.
As you're reading the results, you're going through these names going, okay, yeah, there's the Stoner crew over there. There's the crew that just threw some letters together and Fuzzy, whatever they saw was their
ZZZZYX.
Whatever they like, if they saw a furry bunny or something before the race, that was their name for their team. So I talked to a lot of people there. It was really, you know, a lot of there was everybody there. I think that's one really cool thing about those races is that you got the guy who says, hey, I'm just going to go try this for the first time on the, you know, $300, $400 bicycle and baggy shorts and a T-shirt and no clip-in pedals and a Camelback filled to the brim. You know,
enough for water for the whole team.
Yeah, you know, you got this one guy out there, yeah. And then you've got these elite guys who just hammer out a pace that's unimaginable just for 6 hours straight. You know?
And the campsite sometimes can grow into these elaborate themes or thematic setups, you know, of the campgrounds and the decorations and everything.
Oh, yes, especially the 24-hour ones. The ones I've worked, the 24, they're amazing. I mean, you turn into small villages. And I got to admit, the one really cool thing about this type of racing that I really enjoyed and why I want to go back and do it again, even though it hurts so much, is that everybody there was, like, into helping each other. If you had a problem, there was, like, people willing to donate. Here, I got a tire for you. I got a tube. I got tools. It wasn't so competitive like when you get to a U.S. Cup race and it's like everybody's like, no, you know, oh, I don't have this. And even though they do, it's like, you know, because it's, hey, one less person I have to compete against, you know? Whereas here, it's a community event. I mean,
misery loves company.
Yeah, you know. And I tell you what, in the beginning, it's pretty cutthroat. The first, like, lap or two, everybody's kind of racing for position, and no one wants to let anybody go. But I tell you what, after that second or third lap, you start seeing a lot of heads droop, and you start seeing a lot of people like, oh, go ahead and go buy me. I don't really care.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just telling Brad right now, I was on my last lap. I was dead to the world. I just think I was too tired to hit the brakes or something. But I ended up with a KOM on one of the downhill sections. I'm on a full rigid hardtail, well, you know, front fork hardtail, 29er. And I have no idea how in the heck I achieved that because I'll tell you what, either the goo kicked in I was too tired to hit the brakes and just didn't care or what. But I'll tell you what, fatigue gets you KOM sometimes. Wait,
sweet.
No, I have to have a disclaimer on that because I don't want to get sued. But anyways.
Yeah, you said something about 47 miles an hour downhill on your mountain bike.
My Strava recorded a 47 mile per hour max speed on the Tarantula. It's called the Tarantula segment. And my Garmin was reading off a 52, and I'm just going, it had to be a GPS glitch, but when I did the math, it said I had a 29 mile per hour average through that section, which I do remember one point, no traffic. I do remember there was no traffic. I had a clean shot, and I was just
a couple of tarantulas you ran over.
I was just rolling, man. I was running through it, and next thing you know, I'm at the end of it going, huh, I got through that pretty fast.
Sweet.
So, you know, when the mind, tell you what, these 6 hours and 12 hours are just more mental than anything else.
You know,
physically it hurts, but mentally you've got to stay sharp. You know, there were a few times there where I thought I'm about to go ride off this cliff and just go chill in that bush.
Yeah,
I was tired, but
I'm expecting to do some more of those myself. I always have a good time out there, so.
Yeah, they're definitely a lot of fun. So definitely a lot
all right
of fun.
We'll be right back. All right, we're back here. We're talking to Robert on course, Garneau course equipment. And I just took a look at the inside of this skin suit we were talking about. It looks like a bib short and a skin suit sewed together with the bib hanger parts inside, yet it's incredibly light and an inside pocket and everything. So keep telling us about it.
So, yeah, we were talking about the material on this thing. When you put it on, it's so smooth. It hides the 40-year-old gut that we all seem to get at this age. That's one of my reasons why I hate skin suits. No, but seriously, that inside, I mean, it's got so many features built into it. It's got this mesh that really breathes well. It's a perfect warm-weather suit. So if you're a person that really, like, suffers in the heat and is really trying to stay cool, look into this line. It's very well thought out. It fits well. A lightweight fabric. Now, the downside with lightweight fabrics, though, we all know that one good crash and they're usually rendered.
It's done. Yeah,
it's usually done. But I think a skin suit in a crit, no matter who makes it, I think it's pretty much done in most crashes. But this, the comfort level on this suit, it's got three pockets in the back. So this is a suit designed to ride all day. The chamois on this thing is amazing. I have not ridden a chamois this good in a while. All day comfort, no binding, no crack riding, I call it. And the chamois likes to ride up in there. Feel like you're wearing a diaper.
It becomes part of you.
Yeah, it's just all comfort.
Now tell us about these seams. There are no seams.
There
are
very few
armbands
seams.
And leg bands.
Yeah, basically they went with that compression
open cut
compression sleeve type cuffs. Basically, the arm cuffs are compression, slight compression sleeve, and the legs are like a compression sleeve. So it's like throwing a sleeve of seamless material over your legs, applies just the right amount of compression and support. But, like, again, remember, it's a skin suit. It's designed for, you know, fast races and track riding and crits. But I've gone on 50 and 60 milers wearing this thing, and it's like wearing nothing at all.
I was just going to say that, looking at it, my guess is it's going to feel like you're riding naked.
Yeah, and that, here we go again.
Hello, paramedics.
Good day. They love that new horn, by the way.
Yeah. So, all right, speaking of paramedics, tell us about the
now
the helmet.
Now we move on to the other. Whoa, there I go falling down here. I haven't had anything to drink yet. Okay. They also came out, their line, they have a new helmet out, and I got to tell you, this helmet's amazing. Yes, it comes with a red light on it.
Built-in taillight.
The Course helmet has a, since we're all into the safety aspect right now, Velcro's on and off. Brad's in shock.
I'm in shock.
Thing.
What I thought was a rock lock type tightener, and pardon me for the term rock lock. I think that's a trademark term, but
actually,
the twist.
I think it's called that.
The little twist device. It is called that. The little twist device for tightening up the neck strap on the back is a turn. It was red. It comes off, and it's a frickin' taillight.
Yeah, they took this helmet and did a combination of wind tunnel and real life testing. They were looking for a couple of things. Number one, they were looking for comfort. They were looking for, you know, ventilation. And they were also looking for wind noise reduction around the ears. Hence our good old cat ears, which I took those off recently because someone laughed at me. But they're usually on there. But I don't need them with that helmet.
I leave mine on because people laugh at me anyways. So.
Wow, that's just Brad. But... No, this helmet, number one, ultra lightweight, super strong, well thought out construction. They use their wind tunnel to help with getting that airflow to go through the helmet and out the helmet. So you've got constant airflow going through. The construction, this thing is built around a skeleton. So
I just noticed that, Robert. One of the things I notice in most helmets is you can press on them and you'll feel a little bit of give from either the shell or the styrofoam in between the hard shell, and this one has actually hard pieces between the hard pieces, and pressing on it, it doesn't really give.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of design. The plastic, the coating is actually part of the strength of this helmet. So if you look, in most helmets, when you get to the bottom part of it, you'll see it's usually, you can start seeing the foam, and it's not really covered up with anything.
Yeah, it's almost like a shell that you can remove. This is more
basically
integrated.
It's got a material that's applied to the foam to help keep the foam strong and together. It's part of the shock absorption construction built into this helmet. And the straps are integrated into the actual frame of the helmet. So there's a frame, and then it's molded. The foam is molded around this frame. And then it's so that... Helmet.
If I didn't know my manufacturing processes, I don't know that much, but from what I can tell, it looks like the outer material isn't a shell, like you said. It's actually it's actually molded together. So you can't actually separate the two.
Right.
It's like
not,
it's manufactured
in other words,
together.
Yeah, you're not...
As the, most helmets have a shell.
New technology in helmet construction now, most of them are going to this process because the strength is superior to the previous where you would have separation. Where now everything is being molded. They construct these frames and then they mold everything into it. They call that in-mold construction. And, I mean, just helmet technology, if you have not had a new helmet recently, it's time to go and look because they're amazing. I've also been this helmet fits very well, very quiet. Ventilation is superb. It's almost too good on a cold day if you get a cold head.
Or if you have a big head like mine. I have a big head, so.
Yeah, you're not going to fit on my helmets. But just overall, it was really well thought out. And it's very aerodynamic, too. I'm not used to wearing real aero helmets. And this one is very aero when it's on your head. And it actually was designed. They actually designed it with a rider in a riding position and designed the helmet with that in mind. So when it was first drawn up, they put a rider in the position on the trainer, had them pretend they were riding, and they designed it in that shape, in that position. So the helmet looks weird to the eye at first.
Smaller, yeah. It's more, there's not so much some of the elaborate wings on
it,
you know.
It's not really sticking out. It's really close to the head.
A hockey helmet.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like a hockey helmet, but it's closer to the head, you said. So.
Extremely well thought out product line. It's really light, 230 grams, 8 ounces. 250 grams, my bad. Math is bad. But it's about eight and a half ounces. Pretty lightweight. The retention system, it's so lightweight. Does its job. One hand, you turn a knob in the back and tighten it or loosen it, however you need to do it. And the light. You know, when we got the box, it says, you know, there's a little warning about the battery. I'm all like, what the heck did I order that has
battery powered helmet?
Oh, battery. Whoa, what's going on? Has this thing got a built-in fan? No, it's got a LiPo battery in the LED light that attaches to the adjuster. So it Velcros on, Velcros off. So you just, you know, always have a light with you. You never know when you're going to run late. But definitely check out their product. You hear about the big names in products, you know, manufacturing, and Garneau, I never thought of them until I, you know, found them and I started looking into the product, and we, you know, said, hey, let's take a look at some of this new stuff coming out. You're a crit racer. You're an aero guy. You really, you know, time trialist, crits.
Yes.
Start looking into this stuff. The helmet, you don't need to have this big old pointy obnoxious thing on your head to cut wind. You know, those things get hot anyway. Take a look at this coarse helmet. Take a look at that coarse skin suit. You need to put a gel pocket, something in your back pocket. You know, skin suits don't have pockets. This one does. Doesn't look like a skin suit, but it sure feels like a skin suit. Resistance-wise, I didn't feel any different. I felt, you know, on a windy day, it's been windy in the valley a lot. I have no problems with it, and I hate wind, I'll tell you. I feel every little flap and drag, and it just annoys me. But this stuff is amazing. Take a look at their line. Talk to your dealer about getting them in. It's just an awesome product.
Yeah,
really happy with it.
Pretty sure that if I wore that skin suit and that helmet, I'm pretty sure I'd go faster, and I'm not kidding. You know, people joke about that crap, but this is actually, it looks like I'd go a little bit faster on that stuff. So.
Yeah, no, nowadays, everything's, you know, equalized, I mean, for the most part. So you're looking for every little bit of advantage. And one thing is rider comfort and wind drag. You know, I mean, that's just the bottom line. You know, the less items you have dragging, you know, I mean, we don't wear sunglasses to look cool. We wear sunglasses to keep the air from
protect our eyes.
Yeah, keep the air from hitting our eye sockets so we don't slow down. I mean, that's the reality, right, Brad?
That's right. Now, where do we pick up these products and the Garneau line of skin suits, helmets, whatever, local bike shops?
Check your local bike shop, and if they don't have it, you can go on to the lewisgarneau.com. You can browse through their entire line of products. This product we looked at was the Course. This is a limited edition helmet. And just to give you a ballpark on the cost, this helmet retails $239, And the skin suit was also around the same. I believe it was $249 for the skin suit. So a little on the pricey side, but you know what? It's definitely a race item, definitely a race day item, or, you know, if you're really into comfort. I'll be honest, I'm really picky about my shorts. I'm really picky about what I wear when I ride. And, you know, usually you kind of have to get used to your clothes. This is stuff I put on, and it felt like it belonged on me.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Thank you, Robert. Anything else you want to add on Louis Garneau?
Like I said, Louis Garneau, take a look at it. Definitely a great product line. Upcoming things to keep your ears out for here with us. We got some new stuff coming out from Kenda. We've got some new stuff coming out from Wolf. I'm going to say it wrong. I just had it up a few seconds ago, so let me go make sure I get them right. But for you mountain bike guys who've been wanting to do the 1x11 that SRAM has but just don't have the pocketbook, keep your eyes open for Wolf Tooth Components. I'll just give you a little teaser, but they got something to cure our ailment and save our pocketbooks. So that hopefully in the near future we'll have some news from them on that. But yeah, keep your eyes. And anybody out there, you have something you want to get reviewed on the show, feel free to contact us on Facebook, or you can contact me. Contact us through the webpage of Facebook, Bike Sport Radio. You can also go direct me at raceandteach@gmail.com. And we'll get you on the air.
Medical EMT support, too. Looking forward to having you at the LA Circuit Race coming up April 13th for med support.
As long as it's not Sea Otter Weekend, which I don't think it is this year.
All right. All right. Thanks, Robert.
No problem. It's a pleasure.
Cool. All right. Bike Sport Radio is all about bike racing, bike races, and what you need to race bikes. And we've got some sounds now we're going to move into. Sounds of the race scene. It's SoCal Criterium Series. Also some sounds from Temecula. And sit back and enjoy. And thanks for listening.
All right. We're listening to the finish. At the SoCal Criterium Series number 1, category 4 and 5, men's masters 35 and over. Half a lap to go, less than half a lap to go. Big orange all over the front, last lap.
Someone wants those energy bars.
He's grinding it. He's flipped it and drilled it, and he's rolling solo up off the front.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Number 671, taking the energy bars.
It's a long way.
Designed, providing a fine example for the rest of the field.
Pre-marked for over 2 weeks. We've gone over those pre-markers with more markers. I grabbed out the biodegradable earth-friendly orange paint. We painted all over the place. If something happens and someone blows through a turn today, my best advice to you is look around for all the rest of the markers that they didn't blow through and follow the arrows in that direction. As a last resort, look below you, see where the other 800 racers made their tracks, and try to move that direction. If you don't and you keep going and you end up somewhere where nobody else is around you, backtrack and make your way back on the course. All right, you're going to see white arrows with black writing. You're going to see yellow arrows with black writing. And then you're going to see course tape and you're going to see orange paint. It's a really easy course to follow, but if you get lost, track back and find out where you need to be. 100 stakes out on this course. There is still possibilities of somebody stepping over with their bike and going into the next lane. Like I said, I don't think anybody out here is getting paid to race. Please stay on course. If someone approaches me and they said you were cheating, we'll talk about it, we'll figure it out, and we'll make the appropriate action, all right? That'll just be my call alone, and we'll take care of it when we get there. But like I said, this is not life or death. You guys aren't getting paid to race out here. So have a good time and stay on the designated course, please. The parade lap is about 4 miles long. The start of the parade lap is going to be right over to my left on the crossroads, right under the start, the SoCal Endurance banner over there. We'll be facing that direction. All right, so you're going to line up right here, back behind, onto the left, onto the pavement. All right, I'll be over there. That start's going to happen at 9 o'clock. The reason we're doing a parade lap 4 mile is that there's a lot of people out here racing today. I think there's close to 350, 400 teams. So we want to get you guys separated. We're going to go down a fire road, all the way around a fire road, up a fire road, and then we're going to end up putting you back on course. We're going to come down this hill right here and continue on with your next lap. We will give you a separate time for that parade lap. So you'll come through, you'll check into the timing, just like you would coming off of any other lap, make your way through, do your pit, whatever you got to do, and then you'll start your normal laps. Any question on that? Podium is going to be a small chalkboard. We will have all results posted there. We're going to try to post them every half an hour to an hour, so all updated results. Just go over and check where you are, or your team can check where you are. We're also trying something new. You guys can go on your phones or any device. You can go to SoCalEndurance.com. Look on the top tab. You'll see a results tab. We're going to try to upload all those results as we go as well today so you can see them as we go electronically if you're in your camper. Oh, okay. Hands up. Where's all my true beginners? Come on, true beginners. All right.
He's right here.
Now, here's my thought process for you guys. I'm going to gather you guys up at the start line. I would like you guys all to do the parade lap with us so you get a good feel. So you're basically going to get like a lap and a quarter or a lap and a half. All right? The initial parade lap is very, very good. It's easy, but it'll get you feeling what it's like to be in a crowd. I was going to start you guys separate over here, but that is totally defeating the purpose of getting you the racing experience of what it's like to be in the crowd of the 12-hour. All right, but we will get all you guys together, and I'll talk to you when we do that, all right?
Bike racing, the world's toughest sport. Imagine listening to the radio on Monday to hear the weekend's race news, or having a chance to call in and chat with an expert about our sport. Well, imagine no more. We are Bike Sport Radio. Tune in to KILL Radio for reports on the weekend's local race action and results. Hear how local clubs or teams are doing, or call in and chat with a guest speaker about the sport or some of its many products used. We cover road, mountain bike, cyclocross, and track cycling in Southern California and are giving our fast-growing sport yet another media boost. Our studio is big enough for guests, and we have hosted a few notable ones. If you would like to be an in-studio guest, contact us. You can listen to Bike Sport Radio Live or listen to an archive show at radioforall.net. Please donate at any level to us through the Kill Radio online link at www.killradio.org or support Bike Sport Radio by linking us to your websites. Thanks for listening to Bike Sport Radio.
All right. Yep. Thanks for listening. It brings together to the end of our 110th show, I believe, at Bike Sport Radio. And remember, when you're out there and you're driving about, cycling is not a crime. Don't treat us like criminals, motorists. Check out cyclingisnotacrime.org for our message. And thanks for listening again to Bike Sport Radio. And I told them this. I don't remember much except just keep